Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
That was new friend of the show and Morning Roast co-host from San Francisco in the Odyssey family, Joe Shasky, who joined us in the 3 o'clock hour today to bring us the Bay Area perspective on the Rafael Devers trade and how they feel like they stepped in poop and found a $1,000 bill at the bottom of their shoe print. If you missed the interview, of course, you can go back using the Odyssey app, listen to it at your leisure, or subscribe to the WEEI Afternoons podcast. Happy to have you, everybody, on a beautiful summer day, kicking things off on the Jaws' 50th longest day of the year. Nick Fitzy Stevens, Dan Ball, and, of course, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson here in the house. And, boys, we got some great fresh perspective from enemy territory earlier in the show from Joe Shasky, and I'm sure he mirrors and emulates the feelings of a lot of San Francisco Giants fans. Whereas back home, I feel like we are still stuck in the muck and the mire of M-I-R-E, not M-A-Y-E-R, Dan, of exactly how we should feel about this. Is it time to move on? Do we have Devers drama fatigue? Did the Red Sox get enough? Will they actually come out on top, getting out from underneath Rafael's money and dealing with some decent prospects? Or do they end up just losing the trade and the Breslow bot got played in a house full of malcontents and discontent, as we learned in the Jeff Passan piece?
I got to imagine San Francisco fans, Fitzy, are feeling right now exactly as Red Sox fans have been dying to feel for 5 years at this point. I think we got a little taste of it with, oh, my God, we got Garrett Crochet, that kind of move. But oh, we've been waiting for that big swing. I remember it feels like a lifetime ago rooting for this team when every big fish was, oh, well, he's going to be a Red Sox, he's going to be a Yankee. That it feels like it was a lot longer ago than it was, but I just have to imagine, and Joe Shasky was the perfect mouthpiece, even though it was frustrating to hear how happy he was and how excited he was with all of it.
Good passion.
Great passion. Passion I wish that we all could have when we were talking about this team and this fan base and the front office and the money that they're spending. But Ted Johnson, I would certainly like to be in Joe Shasky's shoes, because I feel like Giants fans are feeling a pretty strong about their former player, Buster Posey, running this team and the aggressiveness with which they're building their roster.
Well, I mean, like I said earlier, it might be the best power hitter they've had since Barry Bonds.
Yeah.
I mean, they haven't had a 30 home run hitter since 2004, which was the last year of Barry Bonds. So, and he said basically Joe did partly because just the design of the ballpark, it's not friendly for hitters, right? And so big time hitters don't want to go there. You probably have to trade for him. And so they finally traded for a guy that where the power will match up and they'll start seeing maybe perhaps more home runs being hit there. And it also, I think they feel pretty good about it, because I think they all understand, at least the news that's coming out is basically showing that Rafi was done with this franchise, with this leadership group, that, you know, all the problems that he was dealing with here, he's leaving behind here. And when he goes to San Fran, he'll do whatever they want, because they're starting with a clean slate. And so I don't think they're when we asked Joe about, are you guys concerned about the, you know, him being a malcontent? It's like, he wants to be here. He was glad to get out of there. And so I can see why they would be excited. But this Jeff Passan article, guys, there's so many interesting nuggets that come out of it. And let me just tell you some of the ones that jumped out at me.
Yeah, what I'm curious to compare it to what was what we both had highlighted first.
And what is kind of amazing about this expose, if you will, is that it's come out in the middle of the season. Mm-hmm. It's not like at the end of the season. It's right in the middle of the season. And so for this kind of juicy information to get out is pretty amazing. But a couple of the things that jumped out at me was them in there, Jeff Passan says that, quote, multiple high-ranking officials in baseball ops were opposed to the idea of signing Devers to a long-term deal. There was a lot of people that didn't even want to give him that money.
Makes total sense. It was a reactionary John Henry move. Don't we agree?
Correct. So, but to hear them say that is interesting. So you're signing a guy with all that money when there's people in the building that think that's a bad idea.
Right.
That to me already it's off to a bad start. The core wanted to meet with Devers and the Dominican to kind of go over what was going on with the Bregman thing. He tried to call, and he was not returned those phone calls. So Alex could never get in touch with Rafi in the offseason to try and communicate and smooth things over. I thought that was interesting as well. And then this is something that really stood out, is that the organization's reliance on analytics for decision-making had come at the expense of productive interpersonal communications, which I think is kind of the crux of a lot of the problems. Analytics and Breslow has really – they forced it, shoved it down the throats of everyone there, the old people that were there, the players that are there. And so it is basically, it's whatever the computer says. And there's no real interpersonal discussions being had and you know, kind of trying to figure it out as a group. It's what does the computer say? And that's what we do, so those are some of the things that really jumped out. And then one more thing, one overarching kind of thing that jumped out to me is that this is Breslow's team. Breslow has the power. Breslow thinks he's the man to get it done. It becomes across a little bit as Breslow's, you know, kind of really thinks he's the man, even though he was the 15th guy interviewed for the job.
With no prior experience at the level that he's currently
that
working.
He is flexing muscles that I think is a little bit surprising when you consider his inexperience and background. So those are some of the highlights of that article.
Mm-hmm, for sure. This is obviously a piece on ESPN.com. We're discussing folks that was published now about 5-6 hours ago about what disarray and dysfunction was going on in the Red Sox front office and clubhouse as they botched, according to one and many, the Rafael Devers deal. Dan, that passage that we discussed earlier about how Breslow's circle of trust is narrowing and there are people that could be turncoats in the organization plotting against him. Our pal Jared Carabas said, stating the obvious, but after reading the Passan piece, I don't think Breslow is long for this job. It sounds like he's got a small nerd clique, and then everyone else can't stand him. Fascinating he's managed to create this environment in such a short span of time. And another nugget that was passing around on social media today, the quote about confirming that Cora told Devers to throw his glove away this season. Remember, we've talked about that so much, you guys?
Right.
Quote, after Cora told him not to even bother bringing a glove to the spring training fields, he was comfortable that at least he could focus only on hitting. So, you know, let's ask this question. When you're paid that much money, do you have a right to say, but you told me to do X, now you're telling me to do Y? Or do you say, okay, I was getting comfortable doing X, but if Y is in the best interest of the team, that's what you can count on me as the $31.3 million a year guy?
The franchise, basically in this article, Jeff Passan leads you to believe that the team didn't think it was too much of an ask with Rafi. Mm-hmm. When you consider these factors, when you consider they didn't ask him to be a leader, they didn't ask him to, like, you know, they've asked him to talk to Nesson or to do interviews, which he rejected a lot of times.
Yep.
But they didn't ask him to be a more vocal leader. They just let him be who he was. That's one. They didn't push more for him to be in shape. They didn't pressure him to come in better shape than what he's typically come in. They didn't, they realized he wasn't, a good infielder. And so they didn't, That was something that they overlooked, the fact that he wasn't the best infielder.
They gave him a ton of leeway.
And then the last thing is he was the highest paid player. So right. there's mm-hmm. these other things that they were thinking that when they asked him to ultimately move to first, and this is where it really got off the rails, was not too much of an ask when you consider those things I just mentioned.
Yeah, no question about it. Like they were dealing with a player and an individual who is just naturally immature. It's a guy who I think it's baked into the pie that he's a kid, he's a child, and for a while before that contract, that was a positive thing. Oh, look at Raffy, look at the big smile on his face. They call him Raffy Big Scoops. Like, it was just, he loves ice cream and playing baseball and hitting dingers. It was great. And then all of a sudden you pay him $300 million and that can no longer be good enough. But you paid the money to a guy who, as you talked about, was not capable of handling the duties that comes with being the highest paid player and being the face of the franchise and being the guy that's on the center of the program when you go and buy it at Fenway Park. And so I think that this situation was handled by a guy in Craig Breslow who, as he admitted to, he admitted this on the Zoom call, it was handled by a guy who was incapable of dealing with the human side of the baseball player. The computer said that he should be the designated hitter. Our models say that he's the best designated hitter, and Brezbot is jumping in on the conversation as we speak.
Who the hell needs Raffy Devers when we can recreate him in the aggregate?
I'm sure. You know, I'm sure Stiz. I'm sure you wrote out the part recreate him in the aggregate. That sounds like you.
Moneyball, baby.
Absolutely genius. That's just, my God, Michael. Yeah. Somewhere Michael Lewis is smiling. Hey, by the way, a little update, vertical tease here on WEEI. Great get for our pal Christian Arcand. Tonight, 7 o'clock on his program, Jeff Passan will be joining him on the Christian Arcand show to discuss this piece as well.
Way to go, Christian.
So make sure you stay tuned all the way through WEEI afternoons, right straight into the Christian Arcand show. Tonight, 7 p.m., Jeff Passan joins Arcand to discuss everything he reported on, his opinions, and more in the Raphael Devers piece. That level of immaturity, Dan. Breslow, too inhuman, as I like to say oftentimes, bad bedside manner, doesn't have a human touch for something that is very analytical and numerical, but still has to have a human element to it because it's still people that play baseball, for now. But I hate to say this, like we talk about what did Cora do wrong? And he told us in his weekly interview back on Tuesday this week, there were plenty of things he could have gone back and done differently. Things other people like Breslow and probably Endeavors and a million others. I hate to say this. I am now coming around on the idea. I am going to lay the majority of the blame on this on John Henry. I am going to lay the majority of the blame at the feet of John Henry for reacting to the negative reception that he received, the bad reception that he received at FanFest, and the Red Sox fan unrest from Mookie Betts disaster, letting Bogarts go and getting nothing in return, and then subsequently signing Devers to a deal he wasn't comfortable with, full well knowing he had maturity issues and probably was not prepared to be the third of a billion-dollar face of the franchise. So I now lay the majority of the blame for all of this at the feet of John Henry, and if anything, Breslow and others were just kind of undoing his mistake.
Well, there's another in the countless nuggets in the ESPN story that we've been citing, talking about how ownership went from trying to be the conduit in these conversations to try to fix this, to try to get them seeing eye to eye, to signing off on a trade in the matter of, it seemed, weeks or maybe months. So it seems, based on the kind of the nuggets that Jeff Passan has laid out, that they wanted to make the best of this investment, and John Henry specifically wanted to make the best of the money that we know he's being very, very cognizant of in these years after a few poor long-term deals. It seems like, Ted, they went from, we're trying to make the most of this investment, to, this guy is making a mockery of this investment. We paid him money. I'm not going to have Raphael Devers' ego supersede my ego. We need to get this guy out of town. So as much as we make fun of Breslow and Brezbot for not being able to handle this with the human touch and kind of talk his way out of it, I think you're more than justified than putting a lot of this at the feet of the ownership, because he's the one who okayed Craig Breslow. He's the one who okayed the contract despite seemingly not really wanting to pay it. And it seems like he is the one who ultimately hit the big red button, because you can't trade a $300 million player without the owner on
board.
Yeah,
I think definitely I've always thought the franchise was a little bit more at fault than Rafi in this whole thing. I know Rafi's a big part of it, but I feel like, and you're right, when you say the owner, I think there's some truth to that, because I look at it like how when Robert Kraft decided to put Gerard Mayo in as his head coach.
Sure.
And we saw pretty quickly that was a bad decision. But I feel like just a couple hours after the last game of the season, Kraft got, let go of Gerard and started moving on to Mike Vrabel. Like, it's like, I like that these guys can recognize their mistakes fast. I mean, that was, you got to give Gerard at least 1 year. And I mean, they didn't waste time trying to figure out what they want to do. They made a swift decision. I feel like for the most part, this thing soured pretty quickly, and they knew that what the writing was on the wall, and they acted swiftly. Rafi could still be here. We could still be trying to figure it out. But I think they saw that it wasn't going to ever get turned around. And so they made, which would be an unpopular decision, what was letting go of Rafi. But I think, so I give them credit for that. Ultimately, you're right, Fitz, that they should have never signed him to this deal in the first place. But you can understand why. There was a lot of heat on him at that time. You were losing star player after star player, Xander Bogaerts, Mookie Betts. And so you couldn't let Rafi go. So, I think he made a decision, what he thought, what the fans would like. Ultimately, it bit him in the butt.
617-779-7937 if you want to share your thoughts via text or give us a call here at Boston Sports Original, WEEI. Let's go to the phones right now. He's been waiting longest. We'll take you in priority order. Our old pal, Double Dry Hop Matt down in Rhode Island. Matt, how are you, guy?
Hey, what's up, guys? Ted Johnson.
Yes, sir.
I listened to the interviews last week. I let me go on a limb and say, is Spillane your kind of player?
He's
a linebacker.
He's intense, man. Yeah, I like to cut his jib for sure.
Nice.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nice, same. So with Williams and Barrymore, with Davis on the other side of Gonzalez, with Peppers coming back, new defensive coordinator, where do you see this defense? Where do you see the ceiling on this defense?
Look, man, I think they...
Thank you for the call, Matt. Appreciate it.
I think they could be a top 10 defense. And why? What I... Potentially because I like the corners. I mean, they have two excellent corners. That's huge. And then you have a guy that on the defensive line for the first time. When's the last time they've had a defensive lineman, the Patriots, that you had to game plan for, that you had to double team?
I would say Big Vince probably. It's been about a decade or
so. It's been a long time. Matthew Judon, you never had to double team him. He got all his sacks off of 2- and 3-man twists in games. Milton Williams can beat one-on-one, and he can beat double teams. J.J. Watt was that way. I'm not saying put him in that same class, but you get my point. So you probably have the best corner combo you've had in a while with the best defensive lineman they've had in a while. And the safeties, I just think there's a lot of variety there in things that you can do with the safeties to mix and match. So I feel like this has a chance of being a top 12, top 10 defense. I think it's going to be smart. I think they're going to be aggressive. They preach violence. So I think they're turning up the heat as far as what they expect from this defense. So I'm expecting the defense to carry this team clearly, obviously. But I think it could go from a bottom third to middle to top 10, top 12 defense with the personnel that they got.
And let's think also, too, ever so nicely about the positive fallout of a pass rush and a stout defensive line and what that'll do for the secondary, having not one but two of the top 10 cornerbacks in football.
Can Barmore live up to his contract? I would love that. Because
he's healthy. I think he can, Ted. If he goes back to December 2023, Christian Barmore, when he was devouring offensive lines by himself, I think so.
Then you got something special maybe if Christian Barmore can get back to that point in his career.
Shane's in Haverhill. What's up, Shane?
Hey there, guys. So I do agree with Raffy, being in his 20s, he should have been more flexible with the Red Sox. That being said, I played college first base and catcher.
Brag.
I don't think he was even in any kind of shape to play first base. I cannot see that man pulling off a split. That's what I want to hear from you guys. Split.
Yeah, preach it, Shane. Preach it.
Thank you, Shane. Appreciate the call, buddy. I couldn't agree more. Like, he may have hurt his groin just running back to first base at one point. He's not in great shape. I wonder, maybe this is a bridge too far, but like, once he found out he wasn't going to be playing third base at all, did he let himself fall into worse shape?
There may be something to that.
But that would run counter to his. He got off to a really slow start. And then he got better and better and better at his hitting. I mean, do you have to be in great shape to hit the ball? I don't know. Maybe it's just is hand speed and bat speed. Maybe it's hand eye has nothing to do with how chunky you might be. But I mean, he got off to one of the worst starts of his career, and then started turning it around. So I don't know. I feel like he would look the same the whole way through. I couldn't tell.
Fitzy, I would like to cite a source to back up Shane. This was from Kevin Youkilis yesterday afternoon. It's shocking how many people, especially former MLB players, play down the difficulties of playing first base. It's the same thought process I had when asked to play outfield. Told myself it shouldn't be that hard because of shagging balls at batting practice. Man, was I wrong. I stunk in the outfield. So that's kind of directly, indirectly. We've cited Lou Merlone. Will Middlebrooks has talked about the idea of going from third to first. It's definitely case to case. You need a certain level of athleticism, but would Raffy be able to focus when holding a runner on first base? Would he be able to do the splits or go side to side or go off the bag, catch it, and tag the runner on the fly? Maybe at some point with a lot of work, but I don't look at his profile and his defensive holes and go, yeah, that's my guy. That's my that's my improvement on what the Red Sox were getting at first base.
Yeah, he's not playing first base in this series. No way. Because he told you he doesn't want to play first base until he's had some reps and had time. And I don't think the Giants would put him out there and maybe potentially embarrass him. That's the last thing they want. So all this talk about him playing first base against the Red Sox, I think, is pie in the sky. I don't think it's going to happen, Fitzy.
Time for one more call before the break. Mike's in Waltham. How are you, Mike?
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to chime in on this Raffy situation. And, everybody talked about the inflection point. What really triggered this off? I want to say, as someone who's followed the Red Sox, followed baseball for decades, when you have a $30 million player who, with a game on the line, does not run down first base, that in itself is reason to get rid of that player.
It's hard to disagree.
Thank you for the call, Mike.
It's one of my pet peeves, I'm telling you. When I didn't see him run out that ball, I forget which series it was, 3 weeks ago, I go on Twitter Yankees. And I had to say something. Yeah. Did you see how hard he was running out ground balls for the Giants, though?
Of course.
I'm like, bro, you're going to pull a hamstring. Careful about Raffy. So.
Watch out. Ted, I wonder if when we get to our predictions for the series, maybe that should be on the board. Does Raffy pull a hamstring trying to leg one out against the Sox?
For reals. I would put that on there, man.
617-779-7937. There's your phone number. We'll try to get to the rest of your calls before we pass the baton at 6 o'clock to Christian Arcan. Coming up, it's a Friday edition of Odds and Ends, where we get to the anniversary of one of the greatest films of all time, some summertime favorites, and pay off the rest of that NFL quarter century list with the same guy who's going to catch you up on trending sports news right now. Here's Dan Ball.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.